Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to go over verse number 18. And I was thinking about ending it this week, but to be honest with you, I think I got maybe one more week left to go through this. But I've had an exciting time doing this. But let's read. I'm going to read, again, we're going to start in verse number 10. And we're going to read down to verse number 18 this morning. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and to take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Verse number 18 is going to be our focus this morning. It says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Again, let's pray. Pray outwardly. You guys pray inwardly to have God speak to your heart. And we'll go from there. Lord, we're grateful to be here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to study your word, to be able to teach it once again. Lord, I pray that you just, for everyone that's in here this morning, I pray, Lord, that we would just look for something to have it to be applied to our heart and to our life. Not worrying about anybody else around us, but Lord, just to be focused upon you. And we pray that not only here, but we pray that for other classes as they are taking place this morning. And Lord, what a tremendous opportunity you've given every single one of us to teach. And so, Lord, I pray for every heart to be attentive to your word. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Well, here we go. So now we have come to an end. Well, coming to the end of this tremendous book. I'll be honest with you, it has taught me a lot more than what I have gone through previously. But there are a few more things that we're going to look at today. We're just going to look at one, what Paul wants us to learn from this particular verse here. And he ends with what a soldier's responsibility. Okay, we see that Paul here in these first few verses that we read this morning, he's telling us to put on the whole armor of God. One of the things that I find interesting about all of this, the last one that we went through last week was the sword of the Spirit, known as the Word of God. But as you look at that, does he say anything in Scripture that we are to go out and begin to attack people with the Word of God? I don't see that in there. But we do know that the Word of God is offensive. We do know the Word of God is used for defensive as well. But here now, we're going to take a different look here. And Paul is specifically talking about prayer. One of the greatest things that you and I can do as individuals, whether we're going to spiritual war or whether we're dealing with something with a sickness in the family or maybe some finances are not going our way or maybe we're just down on, I'm going to use this word, we're down on our luck, okay? One of the things that we can use that is very, what's the word I'm looking for? Useful, all these tools are useful. But the one that we can use it's readily available to us besides the Word of God is prayer. And that's what Paul's trying to get across this morning. And that is, hey, even when you're in battle, even when you're going through those spiritual battles, I want you to take some time to pray. We're going to go through a list of 10 things this morning, I believe, what a believer should be praying for. But we're going to get that to the end. We're going to get that at the end of that. We all have our own way of how we pray to God, do we not? Some of us open up with our prayers, Dear Lord. Some open up our prayers with Heavenly Father. I've heard people say, Oh, Holy Father. But we all have our way in how we come to God. And that's okay, because I'm not telling you how to pray. You're not telling me how to pray. What the important thing is here is that every single individual should take the time to pray to God every single day. How often? Well, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says what? Pray without ceasing. Does that mean you always have to close your eyes? No, you don't always have to close your eyes. But our thoughts, God knows our thoughts, and we should be constantly be in prayer to him. So we have our own ways how we pray to God. But I hope we can see that there are some things that a soldier needs to be praying for. And when I say the word soldier, I want you to put your name in there. Because are we not soldiers for Christ? So as I say that word, and if I say the other word warrior, because I like using a little bit different words as well, put your name in that place. It'll help make things a lot more clear this morning. It's during the times of war to where you and I truly begin to depend upon God more than usual. Is that not true? I mean, we think about it. We might not have a great relationship with God all the time, but when something overtakes our life, and let's just use, for an example, let's just use sickness. No one in here likes to be sick. So what do we normally do when we're sick nowadays? We go to social media. That's what we do. And so we'll type on Facebook. Some will do this, some won't do this. But more than likely, people get on there, hey, I'm not feeling well today. Would you please pray for me? We tend to go to God more when we realize we need him more. But how much better could it be in our life if we just go to God because we just want to go to God? Wouldn't that be more beneficial to us when you think about that? So there are some things that we need to be praying for, but it's during these times where we depend upon God more than usual. I believe God designs things purposely in our lives to get us to a place to depend or lean upon him more than usual. Why do I say that? Because God knows our walk. He knows our daily walk. He knows if we're going to choose to serve him that day. And there's times where we wake up, and that's why Paul says, hey, you need to put on the armor of God. If we're not going to put on the armor of God, we're in a sense saying, I'm not going to serve you today. But God knows what we need in our life, and I believe he puts things in our lives to get us to depend upon him more. God is constantly seeking to work in our lives. You guys realize that? God is constantly seeking to work in our lives. And everybody's different, and I understand that. And when those situations come into our life, here's what we have. We have a choice to either go to God for those situations and begin to ask him to, let me use this word, to give you the grace to get through those times, to give you the peace to get through those times, and to give you the comfort as well. So we have a choice during those situations to either go to God, or there is another choice that takes place, and that is this, and that is to depart from God. You mean believers depart from God? Yeah, believers depart from God. They get discouraged. We talked about it last week. They get discouraged. They get down upon everything in life, and then they begin to think, well, this life of being a believer is not fun, and I don't want to have a part in it, so I'm going to walk away. By the way, when you got saved, did somebody give you a piece of paper saying being a believer is going to be easy? No, I never received that. Matter of fact, it's a difficult life. But it is a life that we can live gloriously by going to God. And so we have that choice to either go to him or to walk away from him during those times. And a lot of those situations are created for us to grow closer to God. Every single situation that we have. Every day is a battle. Every day is a battle. Everybody's got a different battle that they face. Everybody's got different temptations that they face. Everybody's got different things in their life that they face. And so it's a battle. And so as you begin to get up and you begin to face that battle, we should be putting on his armor daily. Every piece of armor is essential for us for a closer walk, for a further growth in him. And so as we face that battle, why Paul says is, hey, you have to put on the whole armor of God, because if you just put on a piece here and a piece there and you have a few pieces missing, then you're leaving yourself open to the enemy to attack you. Every single piece of armor is designed to protect your whole body. That's why he's talking about the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the feet. You have all those things to protect your whole body. But even before we go out the door, a committed soldier, a committed warrior, or you can say your name in there, we should start the day off with prayer. We really should. And hopefully we can see the importance of this. My prayer life's a little bit different than everybody else's. I'm going to share with you how I begin my day. Just like anybody else, I get up and get out of bed. But when I get ready, the first thing that I do is I sit down and I begin to pray. I begin to pray that God would give me safety as I go throughout the day. I begin to pray for other people in my life that I want to see healed. There's some other people that I know that are going through some difficult times, so I pray that God will give them peace in their life for the situation. And I also pray that God will give them answers in their life as well. So I begin my day off with prayer. But throughout the day, that doesn't stop, because there are some things that I do that God allows in my life to bring me back to prayer throughout the day. But I start my day with prayer, and then before I even go to bed, I end my day with prayer. And you say, why do you end your day with prayer? Because we're not guaranteed to make it home once we get up. You know, once we wake up, there's so many things that come in our life that we can get to an accident, and we might be paralyzed, we might our life might be ended. But when I get home and the day begins to wind down and I lay my head in the pillow, I do this. I say, God, thank you for delivering me from the things that could have taken my life today. Thank you for giving me the grace to get through. Thank you for your safety. Thank you for your healing that I've asked for somebody this morning. Thank you for those things. I end my day with thankfulness to God. And that's just how I do those things. But before we go out the door, we need, as soldiers, as warriors, to commit ourselves to start with prayer. Paul again says, praying always, as I mentioned earlier in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, praying always, to pray without ceasing. I would like to think if I was in a foxhole, and we're talking about soldiers here this morning, I would like to think if I was in a foxhole, scared for my life, I hope that the individuals around me can find me praying. That's what I hope that they can find me doing. Because if they find me praying, they realize that I'm not dependent upon myself to get myself out of this foxhole. I'm dependent upon God to deliver me from those things. And can I just add this in there? Some people get to a certain age and they sit there and think, man, I'm dwindling down in my years. I'm no longer capable of doing the things that I used to do. And I know that happens. I've seen that even in my own life, that I can't do the things that I used to do. And I'm still relatively young. But I do know one thing that you're still capable of doing, and that is this: praying. You know, I believe some of the oldest people that we have in our church are the sweetest and most dedicated prayer warriors that we have. And I honestly, I know our pastor depended upon those things. I depend upon those things because it makes a difference. And so don't ever get to a place where you say, man, I'm no longer useful. No, you're very useful. You're very useful to continue to go in prayer. Paul uses a word here called supplications. Supplication is a form of prayer to where we come humbly, and then we come earnestly to ask of God of the things that we need in life. So how can we come humbly before God? How can we do that? Well, because the Bible doesn't just say to come humbly, but we're also to come, starts with the letter B. Does anybody know it? Boldly, exactly. The answer here is, yes, we can come humbly before God. When we have a serious situation on hand, it's not the time to be, hey God, it's me. Can you hear me? No, it's a time for us to come boldly to the throne of grace. So in other words, we come to God meaning business about things. And that's what that means, to come boldly. Come meaning business with God. Having your heart already prepared to come to meet with God. When it comes to come humbly before God, it simply means this. It simply means to bow the knee. You know, what's wrong with us? I don't know if you guys have seen this, but there are some times where I have prayed with preachers. And the first thing that I've noticed with them, they'll get on their knee. What are they doing? I see what they're doing. They're coming humbly before the Lord their God. They're bowing their knee to God because they're showing God how much they respect God. They're showing God how much they love God. They're showing how much they adore God. And so coming humbly before God, we should take in consideration that we need to bow before Him. Why do we bow before Him? Because He's not just our God, but He's our King. And He deserves those things. So it's a show of great respect to God, who is the God of heaven, and let's put this in there, He's the creator of our life. And so we need to come humbly before Him. Earnestly is just coming to God in a serious manner. And as a warrior, you will definitely be in a time of seriousness. When you're facing those spiritual battles, might bring you down, that's a time of great seriousness. And we need to come to God with the right attitude here. When we sin, we come to God in a serious manner. What do you mean? When we recognize that we have sinned against an almighty God, we just don't come and say, "Hey, God, man, God, forgive me." We don't do those things. What did Peter do after he denied Christ? It says he went out and he did what? He wept bitterly. He was serious about the situation. And so I'm using sin as an example here. So when we sin against God, we don't come to Him with a flippant attitude and, "Oh, this is kind of a joke." No, we come to Him and say, "God, I've realized that my sin in my life at this time has separated me from You. And I no longer want to have a part of this in my life. So God, I come to You, please forgive me of my sin. This sin has destroyed my relationship. It's destroyed my life for this great period of time. And God, I mean business with You. God, please deliver this from me and rid me of this problem in my life." That's being serious about those things. That's coming to Him earnestly and saying, I mean business. Folks, we need to mean business with God when we go to Him in prayer. We truly do. And again, I'm not telling you how to pray or what to pray for. That's between you and God. But I'm kind of giving us some guidelines here this morning on how we should approach this. Paul also says, "With all perseverance, being persistent in doing something despite the difficulty or the delay in achieving success." So does that mean that we just pray for something once? No, be persistent about those things. I have yet to stop praying for healing in my mom's life. Why is that? Because I want to see her healed of the things that she has in her life. So I'm not just going to go to God once a week and say, "Hey, God, my mom needs some healing in her life. Please heal her. Amen. Have a blessed day." And I go about my way. No, I pray for her constantly. I'm persistent because I want God to know that I mean business about the situation, and I'm not going to give up until that prayer is answered. That's one of the reasons why last week when we changed what we're doing just a little bit in our prayer time, we come up with a list. By the way, we have the list, and we'll distribute that tonight. And we have names of salvation that we're praying for. And if you didn't get involved in that and you want to add that to the list, please come see me. We'll put that on there. We'll gladly pray for your loved ones, your coworkers, your friends, whoever it might be. We'll pray for their salvation. But with that being said, we're going to mean serious business about this. Two, we're going to be persistent about this. And you know what? And if we got to pray for Gary's family on a weekly basis, then we're going to do it. If we got to pray for Chad's family on a weekly basis, then we're going to do it because we're going to be persistent about these things in life until God answers that prayer. And then when God answers that prayer, guess what we get to do? We can take a Sharpie and we can mark them off the list. That's being persistent. That's being consistent as well. And God wants to see us being persistent about things. And so that's what we need to do. I can go back and give you an illustration of my life, how I wanted a bike, but I'm not going to do that because I did that a few weeks ago, and you guys might say, "I'm already sick of hearing that story," but that's okay. but be persistent despite the difficulty. In other words, don't give up. Keep praying until God gives you peace. Amen? Do we not get discouraged in prayer? And I'll use an example. Man, I've been praying for 25 years for so-and-so to get saved, and it just hasn't happened. No, keep praying until God gives you peace. There's people in my life that I have prayed for salvation, and I have not given up, and they have yet to be saved yet, but God's given me peace on some people that they will come to know Him as their Lord and Savior. And I'm thankful for that. Tonight, hopefully in prayer time tonight, I've already heard this morning, and I hope that Greg will share his story of somebody that he just put on the list last week. And I think it would do us some good to hear those things. It's not bragging upon Greg, but it's bragging upon God. And I enjoy bragging upon God. If you're still with me this morning, please say amen. Amen. So keep praying until God gives you peace, or keep praying until God has answered your prayer. Be persistent. Keep going to Him. Don't give up. Yes, you might get discouraged. Yes, you might feel defeated in some of those things, but keep praying, because that is the weapon that God wants us to use. As we continue, we will now shift our focus to 10 things that we need to be in prayer for as we continue to be a soldier, or as we continue to be a warrior for Christ. Again, nobody has ever said that being a believer is going to be easy. Matter of fact, it's going to be difficult. And not only is it going to be difficult, but it can be draining at times as well. And we all face that time in our life. It becomes very fatiguing. We sit there and we ask questions, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? I'm your son, I'm your child, but yet you're allowing me to go through this. God, I don't understand why you have this circumstance in my life. We get discouraged, we get defeated, we get drained, and we get fatigued. But keep reminding yourself, this is just temporary. God will bring it to pass. He already has the victory. We might just see the clouds, but He already sees the rainbow on the other side. He will give you grace. He will give you peace to weather that storm. So don't give up. Keep going forth. In the book of Psalms, go ahead and turn there, chapter number 91. Book of Psalms chapter 91, we'll read this whole chapter here, but we will see a list of 10 things that we should be praying for. Verse number 1, it says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the error that filleth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show my salvation. So here we see 10 things that we as soldiers, as warriors, need to be praying for, even when God's armor is on. Verse number 1, we pray that we may continue to dwell in the shelter of the Most High. As you're a warrior, as you're a soldier, you want a place to dwell for what reason? To dwell for safety. Amen? When you're out there in that foxhole, you're open to the enemy to attack you. To dwell means that we are going to take residence in the arms of God. I can't find any better shelter place to be in than to be in the arms of God. And I'll explain this just a little bit. It's in this place that we have the protection that we need. And we need protection daily. Not just from the things that come in our life, but we need protection from the attacks of Satan. And when we're in that dwelling place, we're going to be awfully hard to reach for Satan to get us. So we have the protection that we need as we're dwelling in him. It's also a place where we can just stand back and bask in the thought, I love this, that Jesus will protect us. I'm going to say something, and my wife said this to me the other day. She says, Chad, she goes, I love it when you have your arms around me when we're sleeping. And she just said it for this reason. She goes, because I feel safe. I feel like I'm protected. And that's the exact thought here. When we're in the protection of God, we feel safe, and we can just bask in the thought that God, Jesus, is protecting us. That's amazing. While the enemy is trying to destroy us, to be dwelling with God is a great place of safety. When we know when someone is in danger, what do we try to do? We try to immediately get them to a place of safety. That's our reaction to things. If we don't react, we might not have compassion that we need. But I've seen so many situations in people's lives where things happen, and the first thing they want to do is get them to a place of safety. So pray in this manner to continue to dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. This leads me to this question. Why would we want to leave the place where God dwells? Think about that. Why would we want to leave there? It's a great place. The second thing that we need to pray for is this, and that's found in verse number 3. It says this, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. We need to pray to be delivered from the snares of Satan. In other words, from his traps. Satan is constantly setting traps out for us. And sometimes, unfortunately, we fall for his traps. And why does he set traps out for us? Because he's wanting to get us off the course. He doesn't want us to serve God. He doesn't want us to give our all to God. Matter of fact, he's opposite of God. And no, he's not opposite of God, because there's only one God. But he wants to get us off course so that we don't serve God. When we're not serving God the way that we are designed to serve God, and we walk away from things, do you not think that Satan's thrilled to death? He's thrilled. The traps can be avoided by a few things. It can be avoided if our eyes are upon the Lord. Well, how can our eyes be upon the Lord? Again, this is just a reminder. Keeping your eyes on his word. When we're not in his word, folks, again, we're leaving ourselves vulnerable to being attacked by Satan. So keep your eyes upon the Lord. And that's usually, when we got caught up in the traps, that's usually what happens. Our eyes are upon ourselves and not on him. A trapper. I'm not talking about Trapper John MD. I'm talking about somebody who goes out there and begins to trap food for a living, for their well-being, whether it be for food on the table or whether it be for fur that they can sell to make money off of, and they use the fur to keep themselves warm for the wintertime. A trapper studies the land. Satan is studying you. A trapper studies the land, and this he knows. He knows firsthand where to lay the snare. You ever seen a snare? Every trapper comes up with a different snare. And sometimes it's just a piece of wire. It's got a noose around it, and they set it up with some twigs, and they put it in a place where that animal usually walks down. They study the land. They see the footprints. They see the path that they're on. And they go over those places and they make that snare and they disguise it into the land to where that animal will never see it. And that animal walks by and all of a sudden that snare gets them, chokes them to death. They're dead. That's what Satan's trying to do to us. First of all, let's understand this. He's studying where you walk. He knows how he can make you mess up. And he's going to disguise those traps so that you don't even see them. And all of a sudden you're walking, and boom, you're right in there. And he's got you. So pray for deliverance from the snares. Satan knows where we hang out, and he sets those traps for us to be tangled in. Verse number 4, we see the third thing that we need to pray for. And it kind of goes in line with verse number one. But he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So the fourth thing to pray for is for God to give us peace in the times of serious danger. You've heard of this saying before, to know peace is to know God. But turmoil comes in a time of uncertainty. And war is that time. And we need to pray for peace. It is usually during that time when all things seem to generally go haywire. This happens generally because we are not at peace with God, and we're not seeking peace from God. But pray that God will give you peace here. Pray that God will continue to keep you underneath his wings, just like the mother chicken does with her baby chicks. She spreads those wings out. Those baby chicks are scared when a storm comes, or even when a predator will come their way. That mother chicken will spread her wings out, and she'll gather her chicks underneath her and close those wings. And those wings protect those baby chicks. And guess what? Those baby chicks are at peace because they know their mom is protecting them. The fifth thing is pray for this, that God will not allow harm to come to us. A parent will do anything to keep their children from harm. And God is no different. He doesn't want harm to come your way. And he will protect you. Pray for his protection. The sixth thing that we need to pray for is found in verse number 11. I believe I'm in the right place. I could have wrote this down, but I'm going to go ahead and give this to you. To send his angels to protect us. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. There's nothing wrong with asking God to send his angels to protect us. By the way, they work for God. Do they not? They work for God. I believe, and this is just my opinion, I'm throwing out my belief here. I'm not saying I'm getting this from the Bible, okay? So I want you to understand it. I believe that God has given me a personal guardian angel. And I'm not talking about the guy from It's a Wonderful Life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking God has given me a guardian angel to protect me. And because of God, because of this, God can give me a personal hedge of protection about me because of his angels. Think about that for a minute. The seventh thing that we see is found in verse number 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. The seventh thing that we need to pray for should be obvious. But we should be praying for those that we may overcome those that are attacking us. As our enemy's trying to attack us, so often we forget about this. We need to pray for those who are attacking us. That'll change your outlook on your enemy. So I would encourage you to do those things. Again, notice that we are not to attack. We're not told to go out there and to personally attack. But what does the Bible say in Ephesians chapter 6? The thing that we are called to do is to stand. That's all we're called to do. Stand. The battle may seem like it's ours, but it's not. Whose is it? The battle's the Lord's. That's why he's telling us, hey, I want you to get geared up. I want you to put on this armor. But here's what I want you to do. Even though you have all this equipment to use, All I'm telling you to do is stand. And that's what we need to do. The eighth thing that we should be praying for here is this, found in verse number 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. As we continue to seek things to be praying for, is this. We should open them to your love, that they may respond with love for you. Let's be honest. Is it not hard to love the enemy? Hello? It is very hard to love the enemy. But we need to love the enemy. But it shouldn't be hard to kill them with kindness. Kindness goes a long way. God did not call us, I think I said this last week, God did not call any of us in here this morning to hate. We're to hate sin, yes. But God did not call us to hate individuals. God called us to love. And if we have a hate for individuals, we need to be checking our heart. And how, the Bible says, I'm not getting this right, but how can we have a love for God if we hate the brother? That's something to think about. You know, that's a hard pill to swallow. I heard my dad say that to me many times. Chad, how can you love God the way you say you do, but you have a hatred in your heart towards a brother? You know, there's some brothers that have never felt my kindness. There are some brothers who have never felt my love. And the Bible's right. How can we say we love God if we have a hate for them? We need to love. God didn't call us to hate. God called us to love. And by the way, love towards an enemy can change their attitude towards you. Okay, as we continue to go on here, I got very silent here about that one. The ninth thing that we need to be praying for, I'm kind of going through this, I'm getting low on time here, found in verse number 16. Prayer request is ask God to bless them with a long life. Wouldn't that be difficult? Man, your enemy's attacking you. They're coming at you. Now you're talking about, man, I got to pray for love for them. Now you're wanting me to, hey, pray for them if they have a long life. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Their life has value as well. And we shouldn't be wishing or desiring anyone to be dead, whether it be physically or spiritually. I want to add this, because I believe this is important. The enemy that attacks, listen to this statement, please. The enemy that attacks even more after a death is a coward. Let that sink in for a little bit. They've already had harm come their way. They've already feeling defeated because people around them are going. And then the enemy just keeps coming in, killing, killing, killing. That's cowardly. That's just my thought. So how else can we pray for them? The tenth thing is to pray for God to grant them peace and comfort. The enemy is real. The fight is on. The armor is to be worn. So how can we be effective in battle against the enemy? It's simple this. Simply this. Pray. Pray. We're told to put it on. It starts off with the first piece of armor. It ends with the last piece of armor, the sword of the Spirit. And then Paul goes on, hey, how are we to do this? How do we are to be effective against our enemy? Pray. Pray for them. That's what we're called to do. That being said, we're going to end this morning and we're going to have a word of prayer. And next week as we go through this, we're going to talk about the boldness of Paul here and the boldness that we need in life as well. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us. Lord, I know that this is even difficult for me to say. But God, I know that I have not been consistent. I have not been persistent. I have not come to you with respect of bowing the knee. God, I have not taken the time to pray for my enemy, to show them love, to show them the grace and peace that you offer. So God, as we not only go through our spiritual battles against Satan, but Lord, we're going to go through some other battles in life. God, I pray that you just give us the grace to get through every situation. Lord, help us to come to these situations with great prayer, great discernment, and Lord, knowing that you will not just hear our prayers, but Lord, you'll answer our prayers. Thank you for this avenue that you've given us to where we have direct access to you. And so grateful for that opportunity just to be able to share my thoughts with you, to be able to share my emotions with you as well. But God, help us, every single one of us in here, to take the advantage of praying for that enemy that is in our life. God, I thank you this morning for what you've already done. Thank you for working on my heart and my life. And I ask you these things in your name. Amen.